Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day to you. How are you now? Brought to you by Barclay Pearce. I guess it is the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast. I'm James Whelan, Managing Director and Head of Wealth here at Barclay Pearce's Wealth Management Team. A reminder that all advice contained is general in nature. Please speak to an advisor about your needs and mark well. Now we had David Scott last week, and in order to maintain the ratio that we need to maintain, we've got a fellow Adelaidean of David Scott, not of me. Oh, man, that's awful. Well, why can't I just do a decent interview? Hey, it's Heath Moss from HLM Investments. I'll get there. I give up. It's Friday. Yeah.
It is.
How's it going, Heath? You just do the talking. You do the talking. I'll just sit back here and drink some coffee. Heath,
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very, very well. Good morning to everyone out there. It's good to see you kept the Adelaide quota last week, and thanks for David for stepping in for us and doing a wonderful job as he always does. But I'm very well, mate. In the run up to Christmas, the kids are officially on school holidays as of today, so you may hear a bit of background noise from time to time, but I've told them to be as quiet as possible. But doing well. Markets are ripping. You can't ask for much more.
No, and I wouldn't plan to either. Look, I am also ready to declare an official declaration of business shorts in the office. I've talked about it on past iterations of this podcast about eventually it just comes to the stage where business shorts have to be mandatory. We had in our morning meeting this morning, we had our fellow young Jack, who's over from London, from our London office, give us a bit of a wrap talking about the price of electricity. I think it went to like $16,000 a megawatt or something like that at some stage last night. Air conditioners thumping, and they asked us not to, and that's because I think it's the Liddell power plant. I'm not as across it as he was. I'll see if I can grab him to come in. Mate, it's hot. What are you gonna do? It's hot.
We've had the total opposite here in Adelaide. It up until probably today, we've had just rain every day. The weekend was about 16 degrees and freezing with all of December's rainfall in one day. Weird times.
It has been there, mate. Let's go to the market wrap. Now, a special guest that we've got on the show today to do the NFL tips is DankTrader 4000. Will be joining us in a moment once we get through the market wrap. And a few other bits and pieces. First off, very interesting, across my desk, on the FT, let me just pull this up, I'll see if I can, is the fact that, oh, of course you goosed it, what am I talking about? Oh, OPEC. Mate, I know that you're going to talk about oil, and because that's what we do, but I'm just going to put this up and share that, make sure that I'm down at the right spot. OPEC now controls, is that working? That's not working.
Yep,
it's OPEC up. Now controls. Yeah, it's up. Yep. OPEC now controls barely half of the oil market, according to the IEA. OPEC Plus as well, which has been around for a few years.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible? I didn't realize that they had as little control as that over the oil market.
And that's mainly because of the US. And they're at record highs, around 13.2 million barrels of oil a day they're producing. And if you include LNG and gas into that, which I think you probably should. The US would be the biggest energy exporter in the world, probably. So, it's interesting how the influence of OPEC and OPEC Plus has slowly dwindled over the years, and it's probably what the US and other countries wanted.
Absolutely. All right, I'll switch back over to you, and you can do the market wrap.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Heath Moss with the market wrap. Over to you.
A picture paints 1,000 words, doesn't it? Look at that market rip there. We passed our old high for the year of around the 4,600 mark on the SPX in July, and we did that this week quite easily. And we're around 4,719 on the SPX as of this morning. It means the SPX is up around 2.5% for the week, up 3.5% for December. So that Santa rally really is on. We saw the Dow Jones Industrial hit new highs, record highs. And we saw the NASDAQ 100 this morning, although it came back, hit a new high as well. So it's only the SPX that hasn't hit a new high. We're about 100 points off of that. If I scroll out a little bit, there we go.
What's that green line? What's that you had about the SPX again? You said it on the chat.
Yeah, the SPX. Yeah, it's about 100 points off of a new high. If we don't break a new high on the SPX, it'll be the first year in 12 years that we haven't hit a new high in a calendar year. So, markets are ripping. SPX up about 20% for the year. The NASDAQ 100 up about 50% for the year. So everything's looking good. It's all obviously on the back of yields again. We've spoken about this ad nauseum, but it continues to be the main story. We had the Fed, et cetera, meet during the week. They held and were really, really dovish. It surprised me. I thought they would lean back on the hawkish stance to sort of make sure yields held up. Because I thought my thought was they don't think the job is done still with inflation, so they need yields to hold up so the market can continue to do work for them. But no, it was the complete opposite. The dot plots came out; they were revised down a further, I think, 25 basis points. I think 4.6 was the median. So they're counting about three cuts next year. The Fed, so everyone got a bit excited about that. And you can see the 10-year yield has just crashed this week. It's down to, what are we, below 4% now, 3.92%. And the, where's the two-year? I have lost the two-year. 2 years looking very similar, down to about 4.38%. But there was an interesting comment from Powell. I'll just bring up my notes. Okay, this is, I'm paraphrasing it. Powell noted that they are now wary of holding on for too long and the damage it could do. So this is a massive about face from
that was the entire point of what they were doing was to do something until something broke.
The whole thing that he said last year about we can break something and we'd rather fix something and break something and fix it than
that was that's inflation. What I've always paraphrased upon that. Yep. It's far easier for me to fix something that we break doing this than it is to perpetuate the low rate cycles. So
yeah, and he's done a complete 180 on that, and is now it is a real dovish tone from the Fed. Where are the Dixie, US dollar, you can see there the massive fall last night and this morning, and that's partially because the EU and BOE both held rates but were more hawkish than the Fed. In fact, I think the vote from the BOE was 6-3, so three on the panel think rates should be hiked. So they're a fair way away from being where the Fed is. But like leading into the hike cycle, the Fed were the leaders. Coming out of the cycle, they're the leaders as well, I think.
A bit funny as well. So if you actually look at the UK is going to be the odd man out in all of this, probably globally, of any of the developed nations with how they're managing it. It seems like the ECB has probably got it together. Christine Lagarde is going to keep on doing her thing that she's doing. You got the US is just killing it. Australia doesn't go into anything like a depression or doesn't go into anything awful. We always go boom to okay. We've heard
plod along.
We plod along. I mean, like our bad is okay. We are the lucky country. That's just what happens.
We saw as
many property, but it's the UK. The UK economy is actually getting smaller and their rates are still high and inflation is still high. That is like we've got a stagflationary effect in the UK. I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. Thanks a lot, David Cameron. You got a lot to answer for, mate.
Yeah, I think their inflation problems, a lot of their inflation problems come from energy still. Energy prices are still quite high, especially diesel are quite high as well. So that's making things a little bit stickier over there. Even in Australia now, I don't know if you want to pull the little chart up you've got up in the notes from Westy. This morning about even Australia, they're saying two cuts by the end of the year, first in May. I did flag this some time ago. I thought there'd be at least two cuts next year in Australia. Now the market started to say as well.
What is this? Implied number of 25 basis point cuts. So the US has an implied number of six basis point cuts.
Yep.
Okay, which is what, 2%? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Teaching my kids maths.
1.5,
my God. Thank you, mate. It's Friday, mate. And seriously, we've been We've been busting ass on this Welnex deal. We managed to get it done. The transaction's gone through, but there's just been one glitch at the last minute. So yep. Welnex won't come back on until Monday. We're absolutely snowed. We're just done. We're all looking forward to the weekend, but we got it done. It's incredible. We're all heroes Fantastic. Here. I know it is. It just drains you emotionally from doing this. I shouldn't be that open about this sort of stuff. Yeah. So the UK's got what, 4.4 cuts.
Yeah.
Europe has got 5.8 cuts.
Mm.
Okay. Mm.
That's interesting. But you'll notice there the first cut is priced in for March next year in the US. I think that's too soon. I don't think the data is going to turn negatively enough for them to cut by then. I think it's probably a May job that we see the cuts over there, similar to Australia. I think May, that second quarter, we'll start to see a deterioration in economic activity because we all know how lagging a lot of this macro data is, so, and how data dependent these central banks are. So I don't think it's going to show through quickly enough, but I mean, the Fed has surprised me this week of how dovish they were as well. So I think that's the one thing we're going to be wary of. Maybe yields and market have fallen too fast, too soon. And we'll maybe get a bit of a wind back and a rise in yields to correct that over the next month or two.
I can't imagine what the next bit of good news is. There's no more good news. This is all the good news has been done. The next good news is markets usually go up, but I just like everything has been baked in, and the next decision is going to be a bad one. I don't want to be get out of the market guy, but I'm just like, hey, a lot of stuff is really, really easily priced in. Now, before I do this, I'm going to show you the next one. But you know what? I want to bring him into the show. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing for the first time, Dank Trader 4000, NFL tipster extraordinaire. And let's just bring him in here and see if his microphone's working. We haven't even tested it. Untested as usual. Dank, my friend. How are you now?
Yeah, good. How you doing?
Welcome on in.
Absolutely, Trey. No, it's great to be on. It's been a bit of a hot streak on the NFL tips lately, so it's good to get the voice on air.
Yeah, you have.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You have.
I'm picking you up. Just get a little bit louder, a bit closer to the microphone there, mate.
A bit closer?
Yeah, it's
yep.
good. Here we go. All right, yeah. Well done on the deal, Wheels. Good stuff.
She needs to come back onto the market first, mate, and then I'll pat myself on the back. It's not done until it's done. But,
all right.
I tell you what, a small company was able to make the acquisition of another small company, and shareholders are going to be looking at this thing going, well, we've got ourselves a profitable stock now. Everything has changed. Everything is different. 2024 is not going to be a bad year. General advice only. I think that the shape of Welnex now looks really good. That I could say. Now, what are you trading at the moment? What are you looking at? I know that you're involved in markets. That's sort of how we came across each other on Twitter.
Yeah. Definitely lithium space. A lot of lithium, small to mid caps, and just sort of looking in. More on a reset sort of phase, and then I've seemingly missed the window anyway. It seems to be my trait with any trading or investing. I seem to have all the right ideas and the wrong execution, but definitely looking at a lot of that Australian lithium space and copper that long-term one. Just a lot of stuff that's going to come into the environmental shifts and EVs, like sort of electronic charge, sort of the technology in the future. I think that's sort of... I'm never going to get my brain around a whole lot of the markets internationally. So I pick Australia, pick stuff that I can research and know and just go for that.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think it's Charlie Munger or Warren Buffett that says, you know, I want to invest in what I know. If it's too complicated, I'll leave it alone. So it's a good way to be.
Beautiful. Yeah. I'm definitely probably better at analyzing the week-to-week NFL stuff than I am, but that's your specialty, guys. I'll listen to your wisdom at the front end and then try and throw some stuff at a wall at the end of the show and see what sticks.
I think that there is a really good reason why I've moved into the job that I've got now. Heading up, I'm far better at managing a wealth management team than I am at portfolio management or at anything to do with stock research at all. It's just play to your strengths, know what you're good at and know what you're not. And I think that I just had to go, you know what, there are people who are better than me at this. So if they're better than me, I'm going to let them do their job, and I'm going to do the job that I'm good at. And that's what I've gone. And finally admitted defeat. You know what I can't do is pick football cards. Who have we got this week? Right, our host for today is Chris Randall for the Newcastle Knights. He is an 183-centimetre hooker, and he debuted in round 3, 2020, and his junior club was Lakes United. There you go. Thank you, Chris, and thanks for joining us on the show today, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Now, Heath, there was a stock that you mentioned earlier in the week that you sort of like, if we're going to stay on this small caps theme today.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
I want to buy some. I want to go out to clients, but I need a reason to do so. I want my trading team to go out to them.
Okay. So the stock, I haven't bought it yet. I'm waiting for the signal on the charts. But
do you want to talk about it, or do you want to buy it first, and then we'll talk about it next week?
No. I mean, obviously general advice, good high answer. Risk, all that sort of gear. I wait for my certain signals and that. Actually, I'll see if I can bring the chart up on the screen.
Yeah, let's do it. I've pulled your chart up on the screen.
Because it recently did a name change. All right, okay. So this is it. It was AUT. It's now FFM, Firefly Metals. They've got a copper project in Canada. Very high-grade sort of stuff. Around 800,000 tons of copper, and they're still going. They've also got a very good gold project in Canada as well. A lot of the old Bellevue Gold, the BGL guys are on this one on the board as well. So they've got an experienced water board that have taken a company from zero to hero. I think BGL's, BGL's market cap's well over $1 billion now, I think. So these guys are really high-grade copper stuff. You know, we're talking 40 metres at about 100 metres deep at, you know, 5 to 7% some of the grades. So it's really, really high-grade stuff. A lot of drills on the ground. But I'm looking for, if I can bring up the line, give me 2 seconds, I'll bring up a line there. I'm looking for a break of this level here, 58.5. It's been hit a couple of times, probably 3 times there. I'm looking for a break there on volume. Me to enter, it's currently 53. So this is how I play a lot of the specs. They have to line up fundamentally, be in the right sectors, have the right people. Actually, I've got the 3 P's, the pesos, the people, and the pegs. They've got to have the money, the right people, and the right areas pegged. So that's my rules with these little speckies. I trade generally the breakout. So I'm looking for breakout there above 58.5 on decent volume. So that's what I'm looking at this week.
You know what would get that to break out is if you got old Jimmy James Whelan, a.k.a. Sausage Fingers, on the execution desk, mate, by bidding it up. Get me in for 100,000 shares, mate. I'll cross the spread like nobody's business. I'm too lazy to operate this thing. Mate, I'll just go and hit the offer. Doesn't matter what happens. Watch him pull away from me as I keep on crying. And then, mate, then you've broken out.
Yeah, and then you can see copper here. Obviously, the copper price, it's starting to get some nice shape to it. Bounced off about $3.50 a pound, now around that $3.90 mark. China this week, or a couple of nights ago, announced that they're going to try and stimulate their property market a little bit. They're revising down the down payments people need for first and second homes from, I think it's 40 to 50% down payments to 30%. So they're trying to make it easier for people to buy homes again over there and stimulate their property market. So copper liked that this week and moved up accordingly. So FFM, Firefly Metals, is what I'm looking at. I'm not in yet. I will be if it breaks. And general advice, high risk, all that sort of gear.
All care, no responsibility. Well said. Exactly. And I'm glad that you touched on China, because that is something that I wanted to make sure that we got across, just on why copper was running as it is. Even though inventories are high, this is why copper sort of came off before. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. In China and the Shanghai, inventory levels are quite high. LME levels, whilst they've risen, are still historically low. In fact, copper had its best day on the LME in 5 months the other night, up 2.5%. Copper might be, I mean, there's some promising signs in China. Iron ore's holding up around that 130 mark. And the iron ore stocks, BHP, Fortescue, Rio, are all acting very, very well on the ASX. So there's some promising signs there, and hopefully 2024 is a better year for China.
I cannot guarantee that it will be, but what I can guarantee is that you're about to make some absolute bank. If you like money, pay attention. If you don't like money, switch off now. Have yourself a good day. But, ladies and gentlemen, Dank Trader 4000, live to the nation. How are we going to make our money this weekend, my good friend?
What's your best bet, mate? What's your best bet?
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I love how much the hype train has developed on this, that it's just becoming almost too big to fail. Now it's, so I think I'm going to deliver one right now that's probably going to unravel it all, but bear with me. So I'm going for a bit of like a pre-Christmas Home Alone New York kind of theme, and it's not because I chose the theme and then went it. I was just thinking these two are probably options. And for a bit of context, the Giants and Jets have been shocking this year. They always underperform, but they're still doing that. Back in week eight, they played each other in a 13-10 overtime game that the Jets won. The two quarterbacks were Tommy DeVito, Zach Wilson, and they combined for a QB rating of 59 in that game, which is absolutely terrible. Like, they were shocking.
And you could literally just spike the ball at every single snap and get a better player rating. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I guess we give DeVito Dimes a little bit of a, you know, asterisk. He came in for Tyrod Taylor like late in the game. But flash forward 6 weeks, DeVito and Wilson won the NFC and AFC Player of the Week last week, which is just like the craziest turn of events. Yeah. So my two tips this week, usual kind of structure. I'll go a lock and I'll go the smoky. I think the Giants at New Orleans at the line 5.5 at currently at $1.96. I reckon that's a lock. I reckon DeVito Dimes is getting up there. And
against my Saints. Ouch.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry, Will.
That's all right, mate. It's money. Money doesn't worry about which team you like, mate. Go on.
And it's not just the quarterbacks, you know. There's, you know, the Giants have a couple of other pieces that I think they're gonna be able to move the ball. And Barkley, a running back, he's just looking healthy and charging. In continuation, the New York theme, this is super smoky, but I said I was going to start going weird and, you know, risky with it. But the Jets at the line at Miami plus 9.5 at $1.91. I think that they're not a bad chance for that. I don't know. I look at that and I go, Miami is sort of, you know, and it's going to be raining as well. So a lot of that quick pitch, sort of like field management passing game, that's going to kind of get a little bit trickier in the conditions.
Okay. Okay, two good tips there. So Giants and the Jets, both with the points against the Saints and the Dolphins of Miami. Thank you very much, Dank Trader 4000. Good luck there. Heath, what have you got, mate?
Fantastic. And Dank, I would have followed you in one of your bets last week, the Seahawks bet at the line versus the my 49ers. I thought that was great as well. The line blew out way too much there for the Seahawks. So, yeah, that was a good
bet.
I've got a team last week that surprisingly lost to the Bears, I'm going the Lions. Detroit Lions at home, -4.5 versus the Broncos. I think they'll return to form, especially on their home field. I'm pretty sure it's at home. Take the chocolates there and win by more than 4.5. So that's paying about $1.95 at the moment.
Yep, not bad at all, mate. I like all of those ones. All very reasonable punts there. Well done. Okay, we're going to have to wrap it up now, guys. We've hit our 22-minute mark. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast. Remember that all advice contained was general in nature. Thank you, Dank Trader 4000, for joining us today. Special guest.
Cheers, fellas. Have a good weekend.
You know, if I don't catch you, then have yourself a Merry Christmas. I don't know if we'll do this show next week. We'll see how we feel. But Heath, mate, thanks very much.
Thank you, Jimmy, and thanks to everyone else out there. And, like you said, if we don't have another show next week, everyone have a safe and wonderful Christmas.
All right. Good on you. Thanks, Dave. Guys. Have a super one. Thanks, Dave. Bye. Yeah.
See you guys.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.